Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here into hour number three, our third and final on this wild Friday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. We will set the stage for the weekend. And Donnie, to start this third hour, we go back to the big storyline of this Friday morning. We will set the stage for Scottie Scheffler's second round of the 2024 PGA Championship. Notable enough because he is the world number one. Notable enough because he won the Masters, looking for his second consecutive major title, but incredibly notable because of what has transpired on this Friday morning in Louisville outside of Valhalla Golf Club. Plenty of updates, including the latest information about Scottie Scheffler, his statement to Jeff Darlington of ESPN that he just posted on his Instagram story as well, ahead of his second round at the 2024 PGA Championship.
Yeah, Ben, watching the live feed right now, just saw him leave the putting green here, walking. Apparently it's raining in Valhalla right now, but he had the umbrella walking towards it, engaging with the fans here, moving forward as if nothing happened at this point. Looks like he's headed over, and they do have the ticker up there. 4 minutes and 50 seconds until he tees off for round number two. So let's just surmise what we saw the past basically hour to hour and a half that we've been covering this. I didn't think we would get to this. I didn't think I'd see Scottie Scheffler right now walking to the first tee with a camera next to him, ready to tee this thing up. And my goodness, what a story would it be if he goes out and shoots 4, 5, 6, or 7 under today and is back in contention, which quite frankly, is he ever out of contention? Not necessarily, but this is a wild scene from Valhalla where he's due to tee off now in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
All play for the second round at the PGA Championship was delayed by about an hour and 20 minutes because of an unfortunate fatal accident outside of Valhalla, where a worker for one of the vendors at the PGA Championship was struck by a shuttle bus and since has passed away. Again, an unfortunate fatal accident, which led to a traffic situation outside of Valhalla in which Scottie Scheffler in a PGA-marked vehicle tried to get in as players were instructed to do. It led to his detainment by the Louisville Police Department. He was taken by the Louisville Metropolitan Department of Corrections and was officially booked and charged with 4 counts on this Friday morning around 7:30 a.m. Eastern time. He was released on his own recognizance and in the last 25 minutes to maybe a half an hour has returned to the grounds at Valhalla. He also just posted this statement on his Instagram story. This morning, I was proceeding as directed by police officers. It was a very chaotic situation, understandably so, considering the tragic accident that had occurred earlier. And there was a big misunderstanding of what I thought I was being asked to do. I never intended to disregard any of the instructions. I'm hopeful to put this to the side and focus on golf today. Of course, all of us involved in the tournament express our deepest sympathies to the family of the man who passed away in the earlier accident this morning. It truly puts everything in perspective. That's the end of Scottie Scheffler's statement. He is about 5 minutes or maybe even less than that, Donnie, from teeing off for his second round at the 2024 PGA Championship. You are watching live. What are you seeing on the telecast as a part of ESPN Plus?
It's packed. And by the way, he's teeing off on number 10 today. So they show him walk over to the tee box, standing ovation with everybody with their cameras out. Also walking over to the tee box, you saw Scottie Scheffler holding his phone, probably, you know, going back and forth with, you know, family members, whoever it might be, just getting the feel for what's going on and keeping people updated in his own circle. Both himself and his caddy went into that little booth here, sort of signing in, getting your player cards and also taking your pencils out. So he's waiting on the tee. It's about 2 minutes right here, but it is a stacked, packed environment around the 10th tee, watching him about to tee off in just a few moments here. You can't really get a vibe for like what he's thinking about, because he doesn't show much emotion on the golf course anyway. And quite frankly, we didn't get a chance to rehash what happened yesterday, where he goes out on tee number one, hits a drive right down the middle, then drops in an eagle, which quite usually say, oh, wow, that was really lucky. Got a great bounce where maybe it hit the sand trap and rolled up to the green and rolled in. He landed that thing 2 feet from the cup, bounced up and slam dunked it in to start his PGA championship with an eagle, which is incredible. And as we watch about a minute and a half to go, he's ready to tee it off, and we'll see what he has today.
It was a very successful opening round for Scottie Scheffler, returning to competitive golf. Because if you remember the storyline off the course that was following Scottie, even at Augusta, when he won his second career green jacket in the last 3 years, it was the birth of his son with his wife, Meredith. Bennett Scheffler was born this past week. And in Scottie's second shot back in competitive golf, he jars one from the fairway for an opening eagle, a part of a successful opening round, 4 under par 67, where entering this second round as of this moment, Scottie Scheffler is in a tie for 11th. Donnie, we do every conversation on this show with the FanDuel Sportsbook odds to lead that discussion. Scottie enters this second round tied for the second best price to win this championship outright at plus 450, alongside Rory McIlroy, only behind Xander Schauffele, who is now the tournament favorite at plus 250. From strictly a betting odds perspective, which of course are outweighed by the severe circumstances this morning, how do you approach Scottie Scheffler on this Friday and maybe for the rest of the weekend?
I mean, I guess it's all systems go at this point. If you see Scottie Scheffler within two or three shots of the lead on a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, you probably think he's going to win that tournament. We didn't even expect him to get to the tee box today, let alone here he is going to be teeing off any moment now at this point. So when you look at that plus 450 price, you're like, oh, I'm getting a little bit of a discount, knowing this was actually around 8-1 to plus 850 a little bit earlier this morning. But as we said, talking about that, you sort of wouldn't – congratulations if you got that number. But to be honest, if you bet that number and he never shows back up, you lost your wager at that point, because it's not like, hey, well, my guy got injured in round number one, first hole, I get my money. No, you don't here. You're anticipating him playing this tournament and winning it. So you did get a big discount if you bet that, let's just say, plus 850 number. And as he's about to tee off, it's a plus 450. Now, I don't know how I can bet this, but if I know anything about Scottie Scheffler, if you're not built on emotion on the golf course, which he isn't, who says he can't play well today, Ben? You know?
Listen, he seems unfazed and unflappable at pretty much every single moment he is on the golf course, even in the highest of stages at the most significant events. But this is something completely different, a chaotic scenario where he was arrested, detained, placed into handcuffs, brought to a Department of Corrections, booked in an orange jumpsuit, and even has a mugshot. Golf can be the greatest distraction. It's just you in your own mind in this mental game within those ropes, but there's spectators that will have every single eyeball on Scottie Scheffler here into round number two. Again, Xander Schauffele is the favorite right now at plus 250. Xander fired a historic opening round 62, 9 under par, par 71 at Valhalla. Only four rounds of 62, Donnie, in the history of major championship golf, and Xander has two of them in the last 2 years. Last year at the U.S. Open, an opening round 62. This year, an opening round 62, a PGA championship best in the history of this major tournament to start things off. Xander Schauffele has never won a major championship, has finished top 10 in all four of them. And Scottie Scheffler had a great opening round, 4 under par 71, early on the golf course on what is expected to be a potentially rainy Friday at Valhalla. Tom Kim off to a good start. He is 1 under, now tied for second alongside Tony Finau at 6 under. Donnie, it is a star-studded tournament, But all eyes now on the world number one golfer in Scottie Scheffler. Has he teed off officially to start his second round?
As normal, playing in groups of three, who's the third guy to tee off, actually missed the fairways in the right rough at this point as they show him with the camera walking down the fairways, which were lined with spectators, certainly when you get a glimpse of Scottie Scheffler here. We'll see how he does on that hole number one, but I think for him, just getting off on the first tee, now he could sort of decompress and get into his game. We'll see how that translates, but a wild scene from Valhalla today for the PGA Championship, and my goodness, over the next couple hours, it's going to be center stage in the sports landscape.
A few more updates from the PGA Championship comes your way following this break here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live right here on this Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid, and Scottie Scheffler is officially underway at his second round of the PGA Championship at Valhalla after a chaotic Friday morning for Scheffler. His first tee shot on the 10th hole. It is at a par 5 to start off his second round. Sails just a tad right and off the fairway into the rough. But Scottie Scheffler is officially off and underway in his second round.
Yeah, and we'll see how he plays here. And also, sometimes it is nice to get that par 5 right out of the gate for him because it's like, let me just scramble around and see what happens. For betting purposes, you don't want that because you want the guy to be locked and loaded for a par 5 because that's where you're supposed to steal strokes from. But being in the right rough there, that's just a simple punch-out play. We'll see what he does. We know he's deadly with his iron game here to see what he can do. But he's underway, and we'll keep track of it and see if he can win a PGA Championship or get back into the mix. Amazing. When I say get back to the mix, he's in the mix right now. But I mean, just into the, okay, I'm here to golf, not actually like, you know, be a sideshow at this point.
Listen, he is in the mix, as you would expect. Scottie Scheffler, pre-tournament favorite at a 4-1 price, goes off in his second round at a plus 450 number. An opening round 4 under par 67, 5 back as of this moment of Xander Schauffele, who is the tournament leader, sits atop the leaderboard after a historic opening round 62. That's 9 under. But Scottie, in a tie for 11th at 4 under. Not many better than world number one. Certainly not at a major championship. We'll see what Scottie Scheffler's second round performance looks like today. The odds were listed, but the price is unbettable, meaning they were locked, for what Scottie Scheffler was expected to do from the odds makers entering this second round. His second round score, Donnie, was listed at over under 68.5. I'm sure the under had the hefty juice. He shot a 67 yesterday. Birdie or better prop was 5.5. Again, you could not bet them. The actual betting selection of the juice was locked, but the odds were there for Scottie Scheffler, at least to even tie it to a number. We will continue to update Scottie Scheffler's second round throughout this final hour of our Friday on the Early Line. Now, a jam-packed Friday slate in Major League Baseball. The Houston Astros, 5 consecutive victories for the Stros, a midweek series sweep over the Oakland Athletics. Make that 6 of their last 7 for the Astros. And today, Houston hosts the team who sits atop the National League Central. That's the Milwaukee Brewers. It's a dead pick'em, minus 108 on both sides. The over-under currently at 8.5. What do you like in tonight's opener of this interleague matchup in H-Town?
Yeah, Freddy Peralta's been pretty good here for the Milwaukee Brewers on the mound today. If we take a look at the last 30 days, 115 batters he's faced, a 103 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 294. If we use the current season, which means more than just the past 30 days, again, very good numbers. 114 ISO power number, weighted on base percentage, 269. We're waiting for that Houston Astros lineup to come out of its shell. Maybe last night was a pretty good jump point there. 8 runs scored as they continue to win baseball games. Got some pretty good pitching yesterday from Valdez. We'll see if that can continue today. But let's take a look at the lineup and who's going to be pitching for the Houston Astros. Hunter Brown's on the mound. First part of the season here, not very good. If we look at the totality, Ben, of his season, a 201 ISO power number and a weighted on base percentage of 418. That is terrible, but he has been a little bit better over the past month. 82 batters faced here, 178 ISO power number, which is a little bit lower than his full season, and a 345 weighted on base percentage. Once again, much lower than his full season total. He is making gains here against right-handed batters to the tune of a zero ISO power number and a weighted on base percentage of 276. So the left-handed batters is where you want to go to focus, because Hunter Brown is a right-handed pitcher, still struggling, Ben, at a 283 ISO and a 389 weighted on base percentage. The lefties in the lineup, of course, Jake Bowers, a 204 ISO power number, Christian Yelich, only to 150 ISO, but look at that weighted on base percentage at a 425. RBI chances probably coming from the left-handed bats for the Brewers, but overall, maybe looking towards an under here, which is no surprise for the Houston Astros.
Yeah, that has been the story for Houston. That total 8.5. Start number 2 for Paul Skenes against the second against the same opponent in his second start. Start 1 was Saturday in Pittsburgh at PNC Park. Start number 2 on this Friday afternoon inside the friendly confines of Wrigley Field. Both against the Cubbies, in Pittsburgh actually a slight favorite with Skenes on the bump. Only 4 innings in his opening start, but did show some of those flashes, striking out 7. What do you expect in Skenes start 2 today on the north side?
Yeah, we'll get to him in just a second. We're going to focus on Kyle Hendricks, who hasn't been very good this year. 126 batters he's faced, Ben, a 298 ISO, and a 449 weighted on base percentage. Walks, he doesn't really walk too many people, but he also doesn't strike people out. So balls getting hit into play have certainly been damaging against Hendricks. But the one thing we always check on with Chicago is what? The windy conditions. Wind is blowing in today, but only 7 miles an hour. Shouldn't make that big of a difference, but 74 degrees, which is nice. If we're looking at Hendricks, he's a right-handed pitcher over the past 30 days. Really good, Ben, against right-handed hitters, but not so good against lefties. So if you focus right in the middle of that lineup, that's Brian Reynolds and O'Neill Cruz should probably be on your list here. But if the focus is on Skenes, we don't really know what to anticipate. It was an electric performance in game number 1 for him, but he did give up some runs. The strikeouts, will be there, but can he be solid? The one thing you're going to want to worry about, Talkman, Suzuki, and Bellinger. Over the past 30 days against right-handed pitching, they've really been superstars. ISO power numbers respectively, 246, 364, and 485. Just look at Bellinger as a left-handed batter in the lineup today. A 485 ISO and a 471 weighted on base percentage. The damage from the Cubs lineup is going to come early, because after that, Skenes should be able to settle in. But I think we're all interested in seeing what his bounce back performance is going to be, because there was a lot of hype around him coming up. But the one thing we do know, expect at least 15 plus pitches at over 100 miles per hour today. Let's see what happens with Skenes.
6.5 is the strikeout prop for Paul Skenes in his second start. Again, he registered 7 against this Chicago team on Saturday, albeit in Pittsburgh. Quickly here, DRS, the Braves, a big favorite, -210 against the slumping San Diego Padres in the ATL today. What do you like in this matchup?
Yeah, Padres are in big trouble today. Waldron's going to be on the mound. He's been bad. Last 30 days, Ben, a 253 ISO and a 368 weighted on base percentage through 110 batters. The one thing that we're not used to seeing, though, is lining up this Braves lineup. It usually always looks fantastic. It technically doesn't, but the edge to the pitcher and a slight edge to the lineup today for Atlanta, they should handle business.
8.5 the total. The Braves have been under in 20 of their last 22 games. More on the early lineup next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One of the two co-hosts is in their home right now, in their home studio here on this Friday on the early line, and one of the two has an ESPN Plus subscription. Is that what happened?
Yeah. Yep. So I read just an update here. Scheffler dials in a wedge from 92 yards on the opening par 5 10th and taps in with a birdie start. Cyborg. Cyborg, man. What do you want
cyborg.
To
say? Cyborg. A robot that even with all the distractions surrounding him, when he steps in
plus
between the ropes
now
at a major championship, he is unlike any other. That would mean that Scotty Scheffler birdied his opening hole of his second round, the par 5 10th, to start things off, moving to 5 under par, which would put him in a tie for 6th, only 4 shots back now of the tournament leader in Xander Schauffele.
Yeah, let me ask you, or you know as well, you're playing a lot of rounds of golf here. The one thing we know about Scotty Scheffler in the past, it was always like, ooh, if he can just putt, he can really do some damage out here. Never, ever were his irons a question. And when you know that golf course is wet, Scotty Scheffler's going to be able to go at every single pin today. So let's see what he has to offer at this point. If any indicator where I don't need my full warm-up, my full workout, or even knowing where I'm at this point to show up at a major golf tournament on his first hole, dial in with a birdie. Here we go, boys. Here we go.
We saw that ball striking on full display in his second shot of competitive golf after becoming a father and taking a few weeks off after winning back-to-back tournaments, the Masters and then at the RBC Heritage down in the low country of South Carolina as well. His second shot yesterday, he jars it. His approach into the green for an opening eagle on his opening hole of the opening round at this year's PGA Championship. Backs that up with a birdie on the opening hole of his second round after what can only be described as potentially the most chaotic morning of Scottie Scheffler's life. And his wife just gave birth to their first child about a week ago. Craziness. The best golfer in the world for a reason. Some more Major League Baseball previews on this full Friday slate. And oddly enough, DRS, the hottest team in the bigs is the Colorado Rockies. And they still have the second worst record in the National League. The Rocks have won 7 straight games for a total of 15 wins now this year. Colorado takes that 7-game win streak on the road to the Bay to start off a divisional duel this weekend against the Giants. San Francisco favored at a minus 148 price to stop that streak at 7.
Get to know Kyle Harrison, the left-handed pitcher here for the San Francisco Giants. Last 30 days, Ben, 115 batters he's faced, an 071 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 282. Strikeout number about 23%, which is certainly solid. Going against a lineup that is starting to hit the baseball much, much better. But usually, when we talk about the Rockies and their offense, it's typically at home. This is one of the true pitcher's ballpark in Major League Baseball out in San Francisco. We'll see how that does translate. But from the other side here, if we're not matching up with Harrison, it's Feltner on the mound, the right-handed pitcher for the Rockies. He has been decent also over the past 30 days. 127 batters faced, a strikeout percentage about 18%, which is a little bit low, walk percentage below 5%, but an ISO of 136. So two pitchers coming in decent form against not so powerful lineups in a pitcher's ballpark. For me, paint by numbers, baby. We're going under.
Under 7. That's what the total is tonight at AT&T. Yep. Or is it Oracle now? Oracle Park? AT&T Park.
I think it is Oracle. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Oracle as well. All right. Anyway, as we go elsewhere around Major League Baseball, our next game up in Baltimore, where the O's are getting ready to host the Seattle Mariners. Minus 134, that price in favor of Baltimore. Total at 8. East versus West, who gets the best?
We'll probably get a lean on the home team at minus 132, but we don't have that big of a discrepancy. Take a look at the pitchers here. John Means, lefty on the mound, 44 batters on the season he's faced. Pretty good ISO power number at 190, just slightly elevated, but a weighted on base percentage, very manageable at 268. If we take a look at the opposite side here, Bryce Miller will be on the mound. And for the season, he's been decent. 155 ISO through 183 batters, very good. Weighted on base percentage, 259. Take a look at, though. For his season totals, he's striking at about 28% over the past 30 days. He's elevated that to 31%. So a guy that's not giving up a lot of walks and striking out a lot of batters today, I don't like to say it, but I still do like Baltimore being a slight home favorite, but probably more favorable also to the under as well here.
Yeah. The O's, of course, in their most recent game, had the day off on a Thursday, walked it off with a 2-run shot from Adley Rutschman. That does it for our Major League Baseball breakdowns on this compact Friday schedule here in this final hour. But we go to the ice up next with Casey Hudson to look back on a wild third period in Raleigh, North Carolina last night and in Vancouver. And look forward to today up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If it's a night in the Stanley Cup postseason, you can expect wild. That's what we saw on a Thursday evening in the National Hockey League. And to detail everything, break it all down with a recap and preview this Friday night, Casey Hudson joins us here live on this Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Casey, as always, thank you for being here on TEL.
Of course. Good morning, guys. Hockey's been wild, but I don't know if we can top everything that's been going on this morning, but I'm happy to try.
Maybe Chris Kreider in the third period yesterday in Raleigh, but I don't know if it really does come close to what Scotty Scheffler has been through. But that's where we start. Things were getting a little nervy, Casey, for New York. They take a 3-0 series lead in a highly competitive first three games against the Hurricanes. The Canes answer, winning games 4 and 5, were a hefty home favorite for game 6 last night, and had a 3-1 lead entering the third. But then enter Chris Kreider. 3 consecutive goals, all by one player, and the Rangers add in an empty netter for 4 in the third. They win 5-3 to advance to their second Eastern Conference Finals in the last 3 years. Casey, how do you categorize the performance out of Chris Kreider in the third period?
Yeah, he's a veteran with one of the best teams in the league for a reason. He's been their pull-through guy in a number of ways. Last year, it was impossible to stop this guy on the power play, and that's kind of carried over, but even strength, he's helped set this team up a lot, and they're not even one of the top even strength teams in the league. So Chris Kreider continues to do what he does best, and the funny part about it is Molly Walker tweeted a little bit before the game that Kreider was not only good to go, but that he felt good. So that tells you that he's probably working through something right now, like all hockey players are during the Stanley Cup playoffs. But that's what you need out of your veterans. You need people who can push through and pull through for your team, and Kreider's that guy.
Absolutely incredible performance yesterday, because I was really writing that game off up 3-1. Okay, we're going to get ourselves a game 7 in Madison Square Garden. And Chris Kreider happened in that game. 3 straight goals in the third period. That's incredible. Now, we won't see a game number 7 between the Rangers and the Hurricanes. We could see, Casey, a game number 7 between the Oilers and the Canucks. The Canucks hold serve on their home ice to take a 3-2 series lead before we head back to Edmonton. A lower scoring game here, but a big win by the Canucks.
Oh my gosh, this has turned out to be my favorite series, and I had to apologize to Joe a couple weeks ago because I kind of discounted the Canucks, not because I didn't think they were talented, because the goaltending, you know, shuffle, that can be nerve-wracking, and your goaltender is one of your most important guys on the ice. But, I mean, Seelofs has been fantastic between the pipes for this team, and his defense has stepped up in front of him tremendously. I think that not only could this possibly go to 7, but I think that the Canucks have a chance to take it in 6. We've seen them win back-to-back before. We've seen them kind of solve the Oilers' mystery that it is. And the Oilers are kind of relying on special teams to give them their momentum swings. They had that in the first 2 minutes last night. And, of course, they capitalized with having 2 goals in the first period, not on the power play per se, but using that momentum. But Canucks are really good on 5-on-5, and they're starting to find ways to put the puck in the net when it comes to special teams. And they've got guys that pull through in that third period. I mean, they own the third period in the NHL right now, hands down.
Casey, what has blown my mind about the entirety of this series between the Oilers and the Canucks was how easy the odds makers expected it to be. By far, Edmonton was the strongest favorite in the outright price to win this series of any of the 4 matchups that we saw in the second round. Even last night, the Oilers, a slight Game 5 favorite on the road against the Canucks in a series tied at 2 games all. Edmonton was a minus 200 favorite to win the series outright. In Vancouver, now a hefty favorite themselves as they get ready for game number 6 back in Edmonton. How many more games does this series go?
I don't want to be overly optimistic, but I think the Canucks can take it in 6. We've seen them play well in Edmonton. I don't give Edmonton any sort of edge between home ice and away ice, and I think that they kind of started to find ways to get the puck in the net. I think that them losing the previous game was them kind of trying to solve Pickard. When you get a new goaltender between the pipes, it takes you a minute to feel him out. And it was different from Skinner, who they found how to get the puck past him. So now that they've kind of got a rhythm going, and when you've got leaders like JT Miller feeling sorry about his performance and stepping up, and Pettersson, who knows he has to do better in a contract year, it's kind of scary how they can deliver and how consistent they can be here. Again, if they show up anywhere in the first period, but they continue to play very well down the stretch, like they have done halfway through the second, all the way through the third period, they can easily take this in Edmonton. So I'm kind of feeling a game 6 for the Canucks right now.
Okay, so we got action on the ice tonight, a doubleheader, 1 at 7 o'clock, 1 at 10 o'clock Eastern. Let's start up in Boston. That's Florida and Boston. Game number 6, still a substantial favorite here for Florida on the road at a minus 150 price at the FanDuel Sportsbook, and a 5.5. Swayman Bobrovsky, do we see a game number 7 in this series?
I feel like this is going to go to 7, but in the same breath, watching how the Panthers respond to performances, they've been consistent in that sense. And, you know, they have really shot themselves in the foot in a number of ways with some of the unnecessary penalties, with allowing certain giveaways in their zone and allowing the Bruins to capitalize off of it. Now, I will say this, Swayman has been the best goaltender in this matchup, making it extremely hard for the Panthers to capitalize on scoring chances, even when they double the Bruins' scoring chances. But I feel like that they're going to bounce back in this category. Also, they're road warriors. They're 3-1 on the road versus the Bruins, who are 2-4 at home. So that kind of speaks to volumes to where the numbers are right now and where the consistency actually lies. When the Panthers shuffle up their lines as well, they give different looks to the Boston Bruins, who take a minute to adjust. I love their second period puck line. They're very consistent. 15 goals, 134 shots in that second period. If they capitalize in the second period on the road tonight, they're taking this game.
Minus 150, that road ice favored number for Florida. Of course, last year it was Boston, the NHL's best regular season team ever, that had a 3-1 series lead over the 8th seed out east. These Panthers, Florida, came back to win that series with 3 straight. Could we be seeing the same here, but this time with the Bees reversing fortune? Game 6 tonight inside TD Garden. It is also game number 6 back in Denver between the Avalanche and the Stars. Dallas an early lead in game 5. The Avs storm back to force this 6th game and stave off elimination. The Avs a very slight favorite tonight, Casey, at home in Denver. Is it done tonight? Does Dallas win?
Dallas wins if Ottinger shows up between the pipes. If he has a bit of a lame game and lets certain pucks bounce past him, then it's the Avs for the taking, because there are certain goals that got past him last game. Not putting it entirely on him, because there were some sticks that were in the mix there, but Ottinger has to be down tonight. And if he does that, Stars take this. They're setting the tone in the first period every single game. 8-plus shots on goal, picking up at least a goal, which is also why I love their first period puck line, as well as 8-plus shots on goal. Huge value there, and they've been so consistent in those categories. And the Avs pushed back in the last period of each and every single game. They're another big third period team, which is exactly where they climbed back into the game in the last matchup that they had. So I like the way that the Stars are lining up here. They have more depth scoring than the Avs do, and losing Nichushkin is going to be painful for this team, because he was a key playmaker, especially on special teams, for this team to capitalize on the power play, and now he's not a part of it, which means, yes, they have faced adversity and they have been tenacious in the mix of it, but they're going to have to be creative tonight to compete against this Dallas Stars team that's going to probably clean up a lot of their mess from the previous game, because you can't let this team back in the third period, and I expect them to have more of a shutdown third period game. So I like the Stars on this one.
So as we look at the Stanley Cup odds, Casey, all 4 of these second round series have reached at least a 6th game. So of the remaining teams still in the Stanley Cup playoffs in the final 30 seconds of this segment, with how competitive the postseason has been, who do you like at this moment?
As much as I love the Canucks, we have to see them be able to score a lot more. So right now, it's the Dallas Stars that are the most consistent team that check all the boxes. And then I can't count out the Rangers no matter what I do. But I will say this. Yeah. The Stars are one of the top teams, not only on even strength, but their ability to produce on special teams and match energy when it comes to those short-handed goals. So if we're looking at a Stanley Cup final in this moment, it's Stars versus the Rangers.
The Rangers have the 3rd best price, the first team on to the conference finals in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Casey Hudson, have a great weekend. A preview of Game 6 tonight in Indianapolis. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We will preview Game 6 in Indianapolis tonight, where the Knicks are 1 win away from their first conference finals appearance in the Eastern Conference since the year 2000, in just a moment. But the police report for Scottie Scheffler's incident this morning outside of Valhalla Golf Club has been released. And it does add a different bit of degree and context to this entire situation. As the police report states, Detective Gillis was directing traffic into Gate 1 of the Valhalla Golf Course due to the road being closed in both directions from an earlier fatal collision. Listed subject, that would be Scottie Scheffler, was driving eastbound to gain access to the course. Subject pulled into the westbound lanes where outbound traffic was flowing and to avoid backed up traffic. Detective Gillis was in the middle of the westbound lanes in full LMPD, that would be Louisville Metropolitan Police Department uniform, and a high visibility yellow reflective rain jacket. Detective Gillis stopped subject and attempted to give instructions. Subject refused to comply and accelerated forward, dragging Detective Gillis to the ground. Detective Gillis suffered pain, swelling, and abrasions to his left wrist and knee. He was transported to the hospital for further medical treatment by emergency medical personnel. Detective Gillis's uniform pants, valued at approximately $80, were damaged beyond repair. That is the end of the police report.
That's a felony. You damage a police officer's pants. Felony number one at this point, Ben. And by the way, $80 pants? What are we wearing out there, by the way? Are we wearing khakis? Is it a police uniform pant? Like, what type of pant? Dockers? Joe Lisi's type of pants? Like, what type of pants are we wearing out here in these streets?
I mean, Joe Lisi's type of pants, with how tight they are, would have ripped if he actually got dragged to the ground. This is Detective Brian Gillis, by the way, who has been with the Louisville Police Department since 2007. That is referenced here in this police report, and I would assume was the arresting officer. Not entirely explicitly clear in this moment, but I guess that's what the assault in second degree of a police officer is. His pants being damaged beyond repair and valued by about $80, you know? Listen, we have tried, I think, our best, Donnie, to react into live time. First, when we got live on air at 8 a.m. Eastern time with this report from ESPN's Jeff Darlington still being fresh to provide context, still understanding some of the ironic hilarity of this situation because of what did not seem to be the most serious of situations, specifically for Scottie Scheffler. But then he was arrested and detained, put into handcuffs in the back of a police car, and taken and booked to the Louisville Metropolitan Department of Corrections. So then it upped the ante in terms of severity. Then he was released based on his own recognizance, returned to Valhalla Golf Club. There was the golf and sport component of it, driven by the odds. All of it, I think we have tried to weigh with our best journalistic judgment and provide that information, updates, and context here. For this to maybe be the final one in terms of the detainment being police pants, damaged beyond repair, estimated at about $80 to be the final line of the police report, I can hardly hold back my chuckle.
Yeah, here's the interesting part, too, because let's just say we don't have any eyes on this or nobody knew the situation and you just read the police report. Like, forget about him playing in a golf tournament. Like, he wouldn't be able to be a free man for a couple years based on this synopsis. So hopefully we have cameras and we can get a little more levity on what actually was going on around this, because it's two separate sides of it. It's, hey, he pulled his car up 10 feet and nothing went wrong and he got arrested. And then the police officer report is basically like, the guy ran me over and I went to the hospital. So we'll find out sooner than later, but Scottie Scheffler's out here. Birdies all over the place, I guess, and away we go. But what an absolute crazy morning down there in Kentucky, and it's probably just going to get even more crazy as the weekend goes on.
I mean, you would expect law enforcement to treat any injury to their own with the highest level of significance, and thus the trip to the hospital for Detective Brian Gillis. But yeah, I'll save my judgment for that. I'm sure there was police cams and body cams that will have that footage available. We showed you some footage from the scene taken by ESPN's Jeff Darlington earlier in this show. We'll save it at that. Scottie Scheffler, by the way, underway in round number two, birdied his opening hole. He started on the back nine at hole number 10, birdied the par five, did bogey his second, that being the 11th hole. So he is now even par through his first two holes today at 4 under for the tournament, still in a tie for 11th. Huge game six tonight in Indy between the Pacers and the Knicks in this second round series. New York, one victory away from its first berth to the Eastern Conference Finals in nearly 25 years since 2000. Indiana hoping to hold serve on its home floor to force a game seven back inside Madison Square Garden. It is the lone NBA playoff game of this Friday night. and it's a 6-point spread in favor of Indiana at home. Over under 215.5. Yesterday, a New York team went into Indy in the WNBA, the Liberty, and handled the Fever by nearly 40. I think tonight's game might be a little bit more competitive.
I hope it is. Much more competitive than even with the game we saw last night in the NBA with a game on the home court. True. Where it's like, okay, well, if we're the away team and we lose tonight, no big deal. Let's see what happens. Oh, we didn't play well in the first 5 minutes. Let's just get to game 7 already. Because that kills prop bets unless you're great at betting unders, and that's the way you want to go through with it. Yesterday for me, Anthony Edwards should have scored easily into the 40s. He gets 27 because of a 50-point victory on their home court. So you take a look at tonight and say, all right, Jalen Brunson, 34.5. That's where it's supposed to be. We expect him to get into the 30s. But also, last time we played in Indiana, what did we see here, Ben? An absolute smoke show blowout by the Pacers, where barely anybody was playing over 25 minutes on the New York Knicks. I want to believe, you know, we had Brian on a little bit earlier to talk about this. I like the Knicks tonight. I like the Knicks and the points because I think they're going to give me an honest effort, not like what we saw out of the Nuggets last game, and also, quite frankly, what we saw out of the Knicks in their last game in Indiana. 34.5 points does make some sense for me. I like the points with the Knicks, but don't get it twisted. At halftime, if they're down 20 points, like, oh, let's just rest everybody for game number 7, I won't be surprised.
Yeah, DRS, I do not expect this to be like the 2 game 6s, or at least the game 6 that we saw last night in Minnesota, or what I think happens tomorrow night in Dallas. I actually do believe this 6-point spread could come into play even if the New York Knicks do lose the basketball game, as we saw in game 3. A little bit more for me, a best bet. Donnie closes the show up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game 6 of the NBA playoffs in the Eastern Conference tonight between the Indiana Pacers and the New York Knicks. The Pacers booked as a 6-point home favorite for this matchup. Tonight's over-under in this game in Indy is listed at 215 and a hook. The last two games we have seen, Game 5, Knicks win by 30 inside Madison Square Garden. Game 4, our last one in Indianapolis, the Pacers win by 32. I expect tonight's game to be decided by 10 or less, and maybe even within that 6-point margin. DRS, I got to give way to Mike Blewett here in just a moment. He is hosting Newswire today for Craig Mish, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern time. So the quick studio change. Jalen Brunson's 34.5 points prop makes a ton of sense. Listen, if the New York Knicks are going to stay close in this basketball game, Jalen Brunson flirts with that number. But my favorite points prop in this matchup, you can consider it my buy best bet, is Tyrese Halliburton over 20.5. For the second time in this series, inside MSG, Halliburton has put together a clunker. Only 9 field goal attempts, 5 of 9, but only 9 field goal attempts for just 13 points in game 5. He said after the game, like he did after game 1, I must be better. If Indiana is going to force a game 7, give me Halliburton over 20.5.
I agree with you there. I do think that the home team does have an advantage tonight, but I would also, Ben Stevens, like to take those 6 points in here. Hopefully it's a close game across the board, because I'm expecting to dip into some props here, absolutely, in that basketball game. But if we are taking a look at the Major League Baseball card today, because it is quite extensive here, we didn't go over a ton of these. Do you know what? Let's look at this. Yeah, hey, Ben, get out of here. You know, take some time off, enjoy your weekend. Maybe you got some vacation time on Monday and Tuesday.
Do you want me to say goodbye, or do you want to just close it out?
I don't look. You got taken off the screen, so I just appeared. You're going to go stage left at this point right now and be like, you know what?
I'm going to exit. You were just taking it. All right. Hey, everybody, have a great weekend. See you Monday. Yeah. Donnie, close out strong, my man. Time for Listen Up.
I mean, my goodness, BSS out here, getting out, trying to win some bets at this point. But I want to talk a little Major League Baseball. And sometimes we take a look at action like the New York Yankees at a minus 270 favorite or higher at this point, which is pretty wild. Now, here's the reason why we have the evolution of a high number. If you take a look at the Chicago White Sox taking on the Yankees coming off a series here against the Minnesota Twins, who they performed very well pitching and at the plate. Nestor Cortes will be on the mound today. If you take a look at my man Nestor, how about this on the season? 219 total batters faced, an ISO power number of 151, and a weighted on base percentage of 286. You might say to yourself, yeah, that's good, but how about that Chicago White Sox lineup, and how does it go up against left-handed pitching? Well, take a look at this. Over the past 30 days, it doesn't do very well. If we look at Tommy Pham and Andrew Vaughn to start in that lineup, 286 ISO, 250 ISO. Very good numbers against lefties. But after that, 3 through 9 as we get it right now, all terrible ISO power numbers and weighted on base percentages against left-handed pitching. So Nestor Cortes certainly has a major advantage. Now you might say, is that enough of an advantage here to lay close to a $3 price? Not necessarily, but let's take a look at the pitcher on the opposite side today, which is Mike Clevinger of the White Sox. You look at Mike Clevinger and say to yourself, hold on. How's this guy going to do against this Yankees lineup? We don't anticipate very well. 34 batters faced, which isn't a lot here throughout the season. But look at the ISO power number combined, 233. Weighted on base percentage, 422. Strikeout percentage, only 15%. The problem with that is what? That's a good Yankees lineup he's going to face tonight. If we look at the temperatures tonight in the Bronx, they're not too bad. It's 66 degrees. Yes, we're waiting on July and August to get that heated up atmosphere so that ball can travel. The wind blowing in from right field at 4 miles an hour, that's not going to make a difference. The difference tonight, people, is that Yankees lineup and how it goes up against right-handed pitching, particularly in the last 30 days. Take a look at the first 6 batters in this lineup. And if it is confirmed that it's Volpe, Soto, Judge, Verdugo, Stanton, and Rizzo, each one of these guys weighted on base percentages north of 325. We're talking 325, 425, 417, 356, 352, and 405. If we're looking at the ISO power numbers, all of those elevated as well. The low guy right now is Anthony Volpe over the past 30 days against right-handed pitching at only a 160, but he does have a decent weighted on base percentage, therefore setting the table. Behind him, Soto, 260, Judge, 300, Verdugo, 190, Stanton, 246, and Anthony Rizzo at 284. So sometimes you take a look at these price points and say, I can't lay that much. But I'm telling you right now, the New York Yankees should be able to do a lot of damage against the Chicago White Sox today. The better pitching advantage and also the much, much better advantage at the plate here. And if you're looking for RBI props, just get right to the middle of that lineup. Soto, Judge, Stanton, Rizzo, all should be able to do damage. Hopefully we filled you in on some baseball, took care of Scottie Scheffler today, an action-packed episode of The Early Line. The good part about this is we get a little bit of time off over the weekend, but we will be back bright and early Monday to see who actually won the PGA Championship. Thanks for tuning in to the Sports Grid Network. Stay tuned here. Much, much more coverage, so don't you go anywhere.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.